Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Well, welcome back. And once again, you're listening to What's Right, What's Left Radio Ministry, the voice of the Christian resistance. I'm Pastor Joe Larson, sitting in for Pastor Ernie. What does he say? The hero? Is how he puts it. We're his. He's our hero.
He's our hero. Yeah.
He's on vacation.
That's right.
And Randy Gay, Deacon Randy Gay, is helping me this week, and we're working together remotely. I'm remote. Makes it a little harder to. I watch my. I've got an atomic clock, and I go try and match it to the radio studio, and it doesn't always work. It's supposed to, but you know what can I say? Anyway. Biden had sold about 260 million barrels of oil plus. And why did he sell it? Well, you see, gas prices were getting kind of high. People were getting angry at him. So he sold it to keep gas prices down for political purposes.
But remember who he sold it to.
Political purposes is not a national emergency, right?
That's right. But remember who he sold it to.
Yeah. Go ahead and tell him.
Well, I'm sure everybody can guess the first one. You know, it's the CCP, we'll call them the Chinese, got some of that oil.
They got a good share of it.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, you know, you can figure that one out for sure. And that's what he did, is that he sold it to, he didn't sell it to our allies. And believe you me, it didn't come back to you at the gas pump either. So,
no. So we turned around and we're buying oil from Venezuela. And
right.
The oil in Venezuela is some of the dirtiest oil in the world. Now, they talk about environmental things. Here's the dirtiest oil in the world that we have to refine very carefully, clean up, go through a lot to get it to where we can even use it to make our diesel and gasoline. When we have this wonderful, we have our own energy, our own oil that's many, many times cleaner, more efficient. But we're buying it, one, from a communist country, and when we sold it out of our reserve, we sold it to another communist country. And that leads me to this story. Remember here just a few days ago, Biden and China's Xi were having a phone conversation, right?
That's right.
Yeah, they had a confab over the phone. And what was really funny, this was their first conversation since November. And, well, I'm going to jump right in. What it was right after the phone call, basically, dozens of Chinese warplanes, multiple naval ships were reported around the island of Taiwan and continued through the week in the largest coordinated display this year. At least 30 planes, 9 ships were detected in Taiwan's air defense identification zone. In other words, they flew into their airspace, into their water, in violation, which is almost, you know, it's like provoking, trying to get them to do something, start a war. And fortunately, Taiwan, their actual official name is the Republic of China, compared to the, quote, People's Republic of China, which is the CCP, the People's Republic. That's very different from the Republic of China. Anyway, they'd been on this phone call, and they were talking about trade, and they were talking about other things in this phone call. And They were going to discuss narcotics, artificial intelligence, and the conversation was described as a, quote, check-in between two leaders. Now, isn't it interesting that after they checked in and discussed these big, important topics, all of a sudden China puts on a big military show against Taiwan, invading their airspace, invading their water, basically telling them they can do this anytime they want. Who's going to stop us? You don't dare chase us out because that could start a war that you don't want. And, of course, remember Biden said, oh, yes, we'll defend Taiwan. But every time he's opened his mouth and said that, his people rushed to the microphone and, no, 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 that's not the, you know, not quite right. They try and make excuses that, oh, this is not, you know, the policy.
It's
kind of scary, isn't it?
The whole thing is scary. And I'll tell you, the whole thing is scary because we're weak. They know it. And they also know that we are very weak internally. And we are betrayed internally too by the military leaders, by the executive branch of the government, and we all know that. You know, we all know that basically. Going back to like the Francis Scott Key Bridge there in Baltimore, I mean, to me, that's an international terrorist incident.
That's what I believe. But I'll bet tonight. Already, the Chinese Communist Party knows the story about the Biden interview with Sage Steele from ESPN back in 2021. I'll bet they already have that information, and it just validates everything they know and believe about what's going on with the United States of America, right?
Right, and don't forget about the payroll. The payroll that I'm sure that the Biden empire regime or family is on with all of the other little side deals that are going on. You know, you can't discount that they own him, and they may well have told him how to respond to their incident, because I truly believe that, like I said, that was a terrorist incident. That was no accident. And especially, we read the article over the air last night about the fact that they have technology where they can remotely now hijack any kind of system like that.
The story was by Laura Logan, and she's been a pretty good reporter. She's been telling it like it is, and I'll tell you what, I believe her way before I believe Joe Biden or anybody in his administration or in his circle of affluence, correct?
That is very correct. That's you know something else you've heard nothing about that bothers me? The we don't know the extent of Obama's visit to Biden's White House last week.
No, of course not.
I mean, he wasn't there to make a house call and say hi to a buddy. We all know that.
Well, everything he ever did was political, right?
That's right. You know, as they say, I'm beginning to believe now it's political. There are certain people that like it's either money or politics or both. And you can bet that it's both.
They're both.
Well, that's right.
I want to continue on this, bringing up like this China holding that kind of a, what do you call it, provocation against Taiwan. We got two other things going on. So here we have this mob coming up to our borders through Mexico. We have historic records coming through. We have Biden flying, 350,000 people up from all over the place, Cubans, Haitians, other, down the list of people. From Venezuela, I can't remember all the countries, but there are about four or five countries. 350 been flying in, and guess where most of them have been flown into?
Come on. Two very red states, Texas and Florida.
You got it, but you're smart. You're smarter than you look, Randy.
No, come on. Texas and Florida. And if you look at the discrepancies, I think it's 21,000 approximately have been flown into, I'm pretty sure it's New York, and I think Texas, or I might have this backwards. And yeah, Miami, that's estimated that they've got 326,000 have been flown in, and Texas has 21,000. The next highest is L.A. with 8, which ought to tell you, something. The other thing is that think about this, and that's it. Some 347,000 of them, I have an article here about the migrants, were allowed into the secret system to fly directly into these airports, with Florida receiving 325,995 of them. And it's unclear how many of these immigrants fly on to other U.S. cities. So we just have, like, for instance, the ones that we have data on is Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Houston, Miami, Atlanta, Baltimore, and Boston. And but we don't know where all the other people went. And
that's about pretty close to 350,000 between Florida and Texas. The two states that have done the most to fight Biden on the illegal immigration problem, do you suppose he's getting even with the governors of those states? Do you think he'd stoop that low?
You mean Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis? Oh,
yeah.
No.
Do you think Biden's going to get even?
Oh, no. He wouldn't do that to them. I mean, I think about Greg Abbott, who sent busloads of people up to the sanctuary cities. It's like, this is payback.
Payback. Let's go off of this. Let's go back. Here we have this illegal immigration problem. The powers that be are screaming, danger, danger, warning, warning. We've got gangs. We've got terrorists getting through. We've got known terrorists that we've been catching. We've got all these, 800, how many gotaways, I can't remember the figure. It's a huge amount of gotaways, close to a million. We don't know how many of those are soldiers, are gangbangers, are terrorists. We have no idea, but we kept telling people, look at all these military young men, military age, nicely dressed. And a lot of the groups came in very fit looking, They weren't overweight. They weren't the average refugee. I remember watching pictures, 300-400 of these guys at a time, and going, hey, these guys look like they came out of training camp.
But to me, indicts all of them, the Republicans included. If they did one thing, it would pretty much take the lid off of the boiling cauldron, if you will, of immigration. Why don't they make it where you have to be a citizen to get any type of legal aid?
True.
If they did that, then all of a sudden, I think it would stop. I mean, nobody's, breaking their neck to get into China. And we also know this. You can't just walk out of China either.
No, you can't go in or out without express permission.
That's exactly right. And Mexico is also part of that. Did you see the lawsuit that Mexico has filed against us?
They're telling us $20 million we've got to pay them or they won't play nice with us.
That's exactly right. And I'm like, they won't play nice with us? Then shut them off.
Right.
Shut them off.
Let me go on here. I want to cover a little more ground before we do commentary. We've got the danger on the borders, the drugs, the immigration, the possible terrorists. The Houthis are still shooting at ships. They fired a rocket into Israel. Biden's trying to appease the Houthis. Well, maybe we won't call you terrorists if you quit shooting rockets at our warships, and the cargo ships. We have all over the world problems going on, right? So what is the Secretary of State doing? What's he focusing on? Well, he just got done appointing a new chief diversity and inclusion officer to build a workforce that reflects America. Yep. And he's changing the way his staff, they got to use gender neutral terms. And he tapped this new officer just months after the State Department defended a memo from Blinken that urged staffers steer clear of gender language like mother and father and manpower. We can't use words like that anymore. And this new diversity officer is an effort to advance our deep commitment to diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility in our State Department. This is the most important thing that Blinken has to work on, not relations with Israel, not with the problems going on there, the war that's happening, all of the problems there, the refugees, the humanitarian crisis, everything. No, he's focusing. He's been spending a lot of time, and he is going to, where is this? Zechariah Carr Johnson, who was the former state, worked at the State Department, is the one going to lead. I couldn't find much on this person. I'll have to do some more digging. But he said, we're continued to pursue the mission because recruiting, nurturing, and promoting the most capable workforce possible is critical to our national security, making sure we have, transsexuals, transvestites, whatever all these different diversities are, and that is going to make us the most secure. It's critical to our national security. We've got to have more drag queens and transsexuals in the State Department.
Well, to me, one of the issues that bothers me just kind of in day-to-day living, let's take this further and say that this scenario comes into place. And I'm a shade under 6 feet tall. I weigh 200 pounds. And let's say my house catches on fire and I'm overcome by smoke. And so a transsexual man fireman comes to get me who used to be a woman, then I'm going to burn up.
105 pounds, 110.
Because there's no way that both of us are going to walk out of there, and that's a reality too.
Well, to me, it's more important than even that, because in our police departments and fire departments, they've incorporated women. But what it is, if you look at the story after story after story, these people are committing suicide, are spousal abuse, are committing acts of violence. I had a whole stack of stuff that was going wrong with a lot of these people, and they are mentally not stable.
Well,
a large portion of them are not stable mentally. They don't need to be in positions of power, authority, handling things that are critical. You want somebody doesn't have these problems, because all these people have been in therapy over their sexual orientation.
You're talking about the vaginoplasty and the phalloplasty. And once these procedures are completed, then one out of three of them within 5 years commits suicide, if you add that in, it gets to be a little bit higher. If you add in because some of them have attempted it 2-3 times, and the big problem is that it appears that the highest rate of suicide is among the vaginoplasty people, or the men being converted to women, if you will, instead of the women, being converted to men. And don't get me wrong, we're talking about like 33-something% versus 20-something. No, I'm sorry, it's not 20. It's more like closer to 3% with the women. And it's interesting to me that and these are people who have never had prior to, let's call it, this whole incident, psychiatric problems. So you're literally driving people insane, with the surgery.
Well, the doctors used to call it a mental illness before it became in vogue, popular, and they were convinced, the American Psychiatric Association was convinced to change it, like they're trying to change pedophile to minor attracted person, because that sure sounds a lot better, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, the suicide rate is actually, I fished out an article here. It says among the 869 patients which they looked at who underwent vaginoplasty, 38 patients attempted suicide with 9 attempts before surgery, 25 after surgery, 4 attempts before after surgery. Researchers found a 1.1% overall risk of suicide before vaginoplasty and a 3.3% risk of suicide after the procedure, which means it's doubled. Almost 3% of these who attempted suicide after undergoing vaginoplasty surgery did not present a risk of suicide prior to, and then, but when we get all the way down here, there's approximately 22.2% and 22.7% of patients, respectively, experienced at least one psychiatric encounter. A study found 33.9% found that a biological man undergoing vaginoplasty would experience a psychiatric encounter post-surgically, compared with a 26.5% for a biological woman who had undergone the phalloplasty.
And it means they had a mental breakdown.
That's exactly right. That's what I'm saying. And these are people who prior to were in the normal range, obviously 2 and 1%. I mean, you know, there's some of that just from stress for people in everyday life. But the 1 out of 3 after the surgery is completed committed suicide. They did it.
And many others tried it.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
They give you all the facts. They give you that wasn't bad, but a much higher percentage thought about it, went to therapy over it, sort of attempted it to get attention. You know, there's a lot more of these stories that take forever to go into.
And then you forget about the things like the fistula problem, the hematomas that they have, that they take when they don't have sufficient tissue. Then they'll go to places like the rectum, or they'll go to places like your thigh. And the problem with that is that now you're susceptible to all types of infections for the rest of your life.
And most of them become sterile.
That's exactly right.
Children, and many of them become impotent, can't function sexually. So then they get more depressed.
Think about
ruined.
It. If you're a man and you've had your penis and your testicles removed to create a vagina, and then you decide you want your way back in, there's no way back.
There's no way back.
There's no way back.
The tissue to make something else.
That's exactly right. You know, same way with women. I mean, you have a double mastectomy and all the other things that they do to create, you know, the male anatomy, and then you find out that there's no way back.
No, create a fake male anatomy.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember, they cannot do it. Biologically, the cells are all either male or female. That can't change on a cellular level, so all they can do is cosmetic and not change anything biologically. So
And for the rest of your life, you're coming in about every other year for tune-up surgery because your body is trying to go back to what it was.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of go back. I was talking about all these problems like Blinken's focusing on this DEI, right?
Mm-hmm.
The government is obsessed with it, the colleges, universities. In the meantime, I'm going to go back to China.
Okay.
The Navy makes a shocking aircraft carrier decision while China threat rises. This is Fox News, Rebecca Grant. According to the newly released budget, the Pentagon wants to slow down America's aircraft carriers. Ah, you know,
what?
Top Gun, no Top Gun flying around out there. But it's worse than it sounds, because delaying aircraft carriers courts a disaster at a time when our deterrence need is higher than it's ever been. Now, Navy has a budget plan for new aircraft carriers that can launch drones, carry lasers, you know, really stand up to outdo China. But Biden's budget took out so much money that the whole aircraft carrier plan is falling apart. The idea we needed to be able to have so many carriers available in the world for them, we're supposed to be on the seas at any one time, hasn't worked well. We've had there for a while, we had high pregnancy rate made one carrier come in early because so many of the females on board were pregnant. We've had maintenance issues, all kinds of problems. And so now we've got these new, the Gerald Ford class, the new class of carriers, but the sister ships are being delayed. Yep. And back in December, Austin made a special trip to the USS Dwight Eisenhower, praising the ship, the sailors, and, you know, our greatest achievements are the bad things we stopped from happening, Austin told the crew. And a moment of huge tension. You have all been the linchpin of preventing wider regional conflicts. You know, the Ike is still there with the F/A-18, you know, Super Hornet planes. And so we've got two major combat theaters going on, and we're low on ships. We're low on aircraft carriers. We've got the smallest number of ships we've ever had, including all the other militaries like China are building missile destroyers, carrying missiles, all kinds of missiles, carrying hypersonic missiles, laser, all kinds of new technology. China is racing to build aircraft carriers. And we, the 2025 budget, is going to slow down the Navy aircraft carriers by taking away, quote, get this, taking away shipbuilding funds for the next 2 years. There won't be any money for the next 2 years to build ships. Now, what's going to happen, Randy, to all the specialty welders and technicians and people that make a living building these ships? If they're laid off for 2 years, they're going to find another company somewhere to work on a cargo ship, or, you know, maybe even go to a foreign country.
Or they'll leave the industry altogether so that 3 years from now, when we come back and say we need them, they won't be there. Even once they have the money, they won't even have enough people to implement any type of, they'll have to literally recreate that industry.
Exactly. And they know that.
Yeah.
Build these things. We need to keep these people working. We need the jobs. We need to keep these ships going, keep the shipyards open, the talent, the technology going, the skills. Somebody that does those certain really high precision welds, you know, if you're not doing it, you're going to lose your touch. It's one of those like a surgeon. You
right, that's operating. Exactly right.
So here we're doing this dumb thing, no slow down the carriers, taking away the shipbuilding funds for 2 years. The Chinese are building all kinds of carriers. Now, they're not nuclear-powered, and they're not as good, but, hey, they can cause all kinds of trouble carrying, you know, fighters and missiles and all kinds of things. So, you know, what we're doing, if I were to sit down and say, what could I do, kind of like Paul Harvey, if I really wanted to destroy America, if I wanted to make China the superpower in the world, what could I do? And it's everything Joe Biden's been doing, cutting funds for our Navy, research and technology for things we need in the military. He's scaring people out with, you know, kicking people out because they wouldn't take COVID shots. The recruiting poster about this transsexual, transvestite, I can't remember which it was. Oh, look, he was a drag queen. Look, be all the girl you can be, or was it? Be all you can be, you know. That was the recruiting poster, and most of the people I know don't want to send their son to have to bunk with a guy that not sure if he's male or female, or he's male sometimes, female the next day. They don't want any part of it, and they're not signing up. The Christian boys that have been the backbone of the military aren't going anymore, aren't joining. They're even trying now. We did a story last week. They're trying to get all the retirees to come back in because they need them.
That's
right. They don't want to go back in. So we're basically destroying our military as well as letting all the terrorists come through, you know, the border. And we're the police departments and
think,
you know,
about
the FBI isn't following the terrorists. They're too busy going after the parents at the school board meetings. Are too busy looking at people's social media accounts
and bankrupting the states. Bankrupting the states by breaking the welfare system. I mean, they're literally getting burdened down with all these people who've never contributed into the welfare system, crossing the border, and now becoming a welfare recipient, and all that bankrupts the economy as well too.
Well, speaking of that, I got 2 minutes. Hedge fund billionaire said U.S. debt is growing concern that cannot be overlooked. Citadel founder CEO Ken Griffin raised the alarm to in his annual letter to all his investors, and he made it real clear that he's not very happy, his big hedge fund, and he's pointing out this national debt we have is not sustainable. As the interest rates go up, it's costing us more and more. And in a very short period of time, our national debt will consume 166% of our gross domestic product in a couple decades.
Jeez.
Right now, there was we were like at like 1.126%. And I did a report where the nations that hit 130% of debt to gross domestic product, out of 52 nations, 50 of them collapsed.
Yeah, I was going to say that that cannot be sustained. That cannot
be sustained.
Cannot be.
Yeah. Cannot be sustained. So here you have the same thing with CEO BlackRock.
Yeah.
Warning about our debt. He's talking about it, Social Security crisis. And now we can, okay, we're going to, I think, how close are we to the break?
We're just seconds. Seconds.
Okay, Randy, take us away. We'll have more right after this.
Sure.
Beautiful. I love that.
Angelic.
To me, beautiful music in the world was that organ music, Christmas and Easter, right? Or Resurrection.
Absolutely. And the choir was angelic. Just wonderful. Just beautiful.
Well, sings better than I do.
Absolutely. No.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't bring that stuff up to get in the weeds on things, but when some of the big billionaires, some of the big hedge funds, managers, some of the people who control huge amounts of money in the world, they are warning of the danger we're in. We're $34 trillion in debt and rising fast. If they don't get inflation under control, the interest rates are going to go higher. It means it's harder to pay off that debt. And the only thing, you know, the government can do in a way is crash the economy or print more money to pay the debt. But that just raises inflation again, right?
Well, but even that eventually reaches a tipping point and crashes the economy.
And crashes. So eventually,
crashes the economy.
If we don't do something, the economy crashes is what the truth is.
That's right. And I mean, and to me also, if nothing else, with this influx of people by literally the tens of thousands every day.
Well,
my point is that
Biden took over.
The economy cannot sustain that because there's no place to put them and no jobs to give them. Not like that.
Right.
Not like that.
And they're buying them phones, clothing, food,
right.
Paying for rooms, paying for all these things. We can't afford, so what do they got to do? They've got to print or borrow more money. Every time they print or borrow money, inflation goes back up or stays up.
It stays up. And like I said, even that is, and also crime becomes outrageous because people feel like they're desperate, and desperate times, as they say, call for desperate measures. You know, the other thing I'd like for us to address a little bit tonight, though, we're talking about what we need to do, and that's that we need to also have, I don't hear this big demand for fair elections. Nobody's talking about the election process.
Yeah, some states have been working on it. Some states have cleared up their voter rolls. Some states have gone back like, we had a local election. And I went to my local polling place, and very rural, and a small building in the middle of nowhere, but access to everybody around. You have to show your valid driver's license. You know, current. You have a voter card they would like to see, but you have to come in. And even though there were four people there, three of them knew me personally. A couple of them, one of the ladies is a dear friend of my wife. I've known her husband's one of my best friends. I mean, we've known these people since I've been in Missouri practically. And yet, still have to show a photo ID where I live to go and vote in a local election.
Well, here.
If everybody did that, the odds of cheating go way, way, way down, don't they?
Well, let's take a look at some of the things. I've got some data here. For instance, on New York. In New York, and this is by a nonpartisan organization, and what they're saying is that they had 1,467,399 illegal duplications. We're talking about only 449,956 votes that were cast out of
duplicate.
But the duplicates were twice as much. Well, almost three. And if we go here, 16,623 votes cast by voters with blank addresses. 335,312 more votes counted than voters who voted. Now, this is in New York.
Voted. They were registered to vote, you mean.
Yeah,
we see that all the time in Democrat states. We've seen
sure.
In how many elections more people voted than were registered to vote, and it happens frequently, and yet the media goes ho-hum. There's no big story on it. It doesn't get out in the mainstream media. Even Fox News doesn't push these fraudulent vote stories. They won't touch them. And that's half the time how the Democrats win, by cheating. I'm sorry, but that's all my life I've watched. I saw it in South Dakota when a good friend of mine was running for Congress, and his name was Bill Fetter, and he's been a guest in this program. He's an author, historian. He ran for Congress, and same thing happened in his district. More people voted than were registered to vote in his district. And later they found out a lot of the people, their resident address was in the middle of the Missouri River, places like that. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, wait a minute.
Hey.
You can't have people living in the middle of a big river. Doesn't happen.
Well, my favorite joke is that when my father was alive, he voted Republican, but now that he's dead, he votes Democrat. Okay,
yeah.
That's it.
The voter rolls.
Now we do have a gentleman on the line that I think we ought to, I mean, I know we didn't open it up, but there's a gentleman by the name of Jack from San Diego wants to talk, and I think we should let him on, if that's okay.
All right, well, you're there in the studio, so we'll go for it.
All right, come on, Jack.
So I was going to talk a little bit about the Federal Reserve. There's a lot of misunderstanding about how it operates.
No kidding. It's not even federal.
Congressional Act in 1913.
And oh, yeah.
Congress gave the Federal Reserve the currency. So we use Federal Reserve notes. It's the Federal Reserve that prints money, not Congress.
That's right. You're right. And they skim off of it, too. They skim off of the money that they allow us, our money that they allow us to have.
So I think that the Federal Reserve's primary interest is going to be avoiding inflation, because if you get rampant inflation and your currency becomes worthless, they're out of business.
Yeah.
They don't have an army. They don't have a police force. Their only source of power is controlling the currency and the money supply. One of the things they typically do is they run a balance sheet, which is because they're separate from the federal government. They're
right. They're not a government organization. They're private.
So they run right now. The last time I looked, it was like $9 trillion.
Yeah.
And one of the things they do to create money out of thin air is most money is printed by a computer keystroke today. We're not using a lot of paper money. So they'll buy $2 or $3 trillion of government treasuries with money they create out of thin air. And their balance sheet might expand in a month's time from $6 trillion to $9 trillion, where it is now. And so the buyer of last resort for U.S. Treasuries is going to be the Federal Reserve. And when it comes to printing actual physical currency, which I hear they want to do away with,
right,
they pay the Treasury Department a small fee to actually print the money, but they're Federal Reserve notes. But one interesting thing is Congress maintained control over coins. And that's why every once in a while, when they get in debt trouble, you hear them float this idea about printing or manufacturing a platinum coin with a face value of $1 trillion. It's always been shot down, but if they ever did something stupid like that, people wouldn't have any faith in our debt or our currency.
I don't have a lot of faith in it right now, even looking in if they started printing a $1 billion coin, you know.
And Jack, you seem like you're more much up on this than I am, but isn't it in the Constitution that fiat money's not supposed to be done? They're supposed to mint money or coin money. Isn't
no, we were taken off the gold standard, remember?
No, yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah.
We were on the gold standard,
right,
and then they went off of that and went to this Federal Reserve type system.
Right, right.
That was the biggest mistake we ever made.
Yeah. But they had been trying to do, they had been trying to do something similar to that. Come on, all the way back, and Andrew Jackson and all of them fought with it. The Treasury's been an issue, really, since the birth of America.
Yeah, the money supply and who controls
yeah.
it and how. And
yeah, it's been an issue.
Well, what? You know, we've got a government full of corrupt people,
yeah.
and so anytime you have a lot of money, you have grounds for corruption, right? Or, I mean, a fertile area for corruption to thrive.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, this is a good point to bring up, and thanks for interjecting into the conversation, because we were just talking about the tipping point, and you're right to talk about the Federal Reserve, and we kind of had excluded them from the conversation. So thank you.
Well, there's so much to go into on things like this. It's just, you know, you can get buried in the weeds. But just one last, you're almost time to do the invitation. Biden's new tax hike plan, well, there's a couple of groups have looked at it, the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget. And they say if this goes through, the U.S. You know, this will cost the U.S. economy about 800,000 jobs. The Tax Foundation is another group that took a look at this whole thing. It's going to hurt our economic output. It's going to kill, they said, about 788,000 full-time jobs. And the policies make the tax code more complicated, more unstable, more anti-growth. And, you know, we're just adding insult to injury. We're adding rubbing salt in the wound. And, of course, you know that the Congress didn't stop the big increase.
But
we still don't have the big one coming, but they have increased so much that we're already in trouble, let alone if they pass this whole new spending plan.
But listen to what you said, and what you said can happen statistically. I can see that this is a plan. This is not an accident. This doesn't sound like an. I mean, if you want to ruin the nation, this is you know, something that could be key in doing that. And we know that's what they want to do. They want to ruin the nation.
Piven was a couple there. Socialists, they said, how do you, you know, to have a revolution, you break down the country so it can have a revolution. And their theory was you overload the systems, the welfare system, create problems with pension plans and all kinds of things in the economy where you overload it till it collapses. Then the communists can foment the new revolution to bring about the new order of things. And from what I see happening, they're working very hard to follow through on Cloward Piven. You can look those two up and read what they planned. You know, break down the economy of the nation.
Exactly. And, I mean, everything we're doing is counterproductive, counter-growth productive anyway.
Right.
I mean, look
middle
at
middle class.
You know, even in the schools, I look at the schools, and as subtle as it is, where in Cleveland they've totally eliminated the trades and the professions, so everything's college. Now, if every kid that graduates from public school gets a college degree, there aren't enough jobs for them.
Right.
I mean,
we
there just aren't.
We have a shortage of welders. We have a shortage of electricians.
That's right.
A nationwide shortage of plumbers.
Plumbers, that's right. All the trades, yeah. They're just going. And to me, like, that's, you know, no accident either. I mean, if you look like anything that even can be fixed without major legislation, they're breaking that too.
They're trying to buy votes. That's kind of the final word. How many minutes do we have there, Style?
Coming up on 7 here.
Okay.
7? Okay. What do you want, about 5 minutes for an invitation?
Yeah, four, that's good. That's good.
Somewhere around there.
Yep.
But we didn't bring this up, folks, to scare you. We brought these things up to warn you. We have elections coming. Elections have consequences. And basically, it is my heartfelt belief that if Joe Biden wins, the Democrats win, the nation that we know and love will be gone. We're on heading downhill now fast, like a big rolling stone going downhill. And the only thing that's going to turn around is, one, is if this country does turn on its knees, repent, call on God, and say, Lord, haven't been obedient. We've allowed abortion. We haven't stood for the unborn. All the different things we've talked about over the months and years here. So it will be the people repenting. And the other thing will be the people getting out and voting. Over the past couple of big elections, millions of Christians stayed home and did not vote. And if they stay home again and do not vote this election because, well, they don't like Trump's tweaks or whatever, you know, what he says in social media, calling names, this nation will be gone under.
But to not vote is to vote.
Your children and grandchildren.
To not vote is to vote. You just vote.
Exactly. You're letting a communist vote in your place.
Right, right. And your vote is that I don't care. Whatever happens, happens. And that's a vote. That really is. You know? So with that, Jack, what I want to say is, first off, Jack, thanks for calling in. It looks like he's gone. Yeah, you know, thanks for, you know, calling in and appreciate him bringing up that point that was valid. And that if I got five, all right, then I'll start it, and let's start now. First off, obviously, we need to talk about life and where life is headed. And if you're not prepared for
your existence beyond life, you're not prepared for life itself, because you can't do what most people do about politics here, which is kind of believe like I do about exercise, and that's like the urge may come, but if I wait long enough, it'll go away. Well, we all have an issue here, and the issue is we all are deeply indebted to our Creator, Sustainer, and our Savior, Lord, and Master, Jesus Christ, God, and our God, and everybody's indebted to God. The problem is, how do you pay back God when He owns you, controls you, has given you a way to live, but you violated all that, and we all have in some way, shape, or form. I don't think there's anybody here who would disagree with me to say that you have disobeyed God in word and deed.
Free will, right?
That's right. With your free will, you have disobeyed God, or if nothing else, you've harbored resentment against God. You failed to worship God. You failed to honor God. And from God and through God came your life and every good thing. And so you're not your own, and you've been bought with a price. And that price actually was culminated, if you will, and celebrated, worshipped, and looked at last weekend by the life, death, crucifixion, death, and burial of Jesus Christ our Lord, who has provided for you and your free will, if you will, to come to Him, to repent, acknowledge your sin first, and then repent from sin, turn from it. And Jesus Christ says that if you will do that, if you will confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which means that God has now provided and offered to buy you back from the slave market, because we're all slaves to sin. So He's offered to buy you back. And that also, you can use that same free will that you violated God with. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised, so to speak, a second chance for all of us. If we'll turn to Him, obey Him, and everybody here has shipwrecked their lives. And so if the sin that comes to mind, you can repent that to the Lord right now. Turn from Him, acknowledge Him as Savior and Lord, and get back on the track. And God will certify that by indwelling you with the seal of the Holy Spirit. And that's called you must be born again, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But the Spirit is provided for us, indwells us, and gives you the power to live that life that you didn't live before. And you probably couldn't. Well, you couldn't live before anyway. So I'm urging you now to repent of that sin, to acknowledge the fact that you do owe God a great debt, but also that God has paid that debt. And the only thing that He'll receive as payment for that debt is your faith in, your repentance of sin, and the life, death, and burial of Jesus Christ. And the way you go into Jesus Christ is by doing just that. Confess Him as Lord, and He will forgive you your sin and forgive you of all unrighteousness and take you into His family, adopt you with the full benefits of being a son of God or a daughter of God, if you will. And it's something that Jesus paid it all. All you have to do is believe it and receive it, and it's yours. And if you believe it, if you receive it and it's yours, then hallelujah, you've entered into the kingdom.
1 minute, guys.
And you also have the privilege of crossing over. Now you have eternal life, not 20 years from now, not when you die. It starts now. So I'm urging you now to accept the free gift, because if you don't, then you'll be eternally separated from God. And to be absent from the body is either present with the Lord or it's present into eternity apart from God forever. So I want to thank you, folks. I want to ask you to do that and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Lord, and Master, and it's yours in Jesus. And so please do that, and I thank you for this opportunity to witness to you in that vein. We got 30 seconds left, Joe. I don't know if you wanted to say anything.
Just that many people will not be around tomorrow, that we're here tonight around the world. We never know when our time is up or we're going to be called to go home or when our life is to be taken.
Oh, we got
away.
Five. Okay. Good night. God bless. And always, always, always
keep fighting
the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's right? What's left? hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.